Well, what's wrong with slavery?
If you were to ask anybody if slavery were still rampant in the world today, what do you think their answer would be? I think for most people, they would say that slavery is a system of a bygone era, purely racial, it doesn't exist anymore. And to a large degree, they would be correct. I've noticed that the way that we do away with something in America is not necessarily to do away with it, but instead to hide it. If slavery is a problem, and we end up going to civil war against it as we did, well, then we just need to find a way to hide slavery. If people are disgusted by perpetual warfare, both the cost in blood and treasure, then what we need to do is to find a way to hide warfare. And we've done so. We have wars in all these foreign lands all the time. We've been perpetually at warfare pretty much since I was born. Very, very few times since I've been on this planet has America not been at war. But you look around, you say, hey, we're not at war here in America. We are not in that theater of war. Well, all of that perpetual warfare, that unending warfare, bloody, expensive, humans, treasure, all of it has finally come home. And we don't recognize it as warfare, but that's exactly what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out, episode number 222. I'm just going to get right to it. This is part two in the new Civil War. Quoting here from the LA Times, we now have the largest number of slaves on Earth than we've ever had in human history. This, according to Andrew Forrest, founder of the Walk Free Foundation, an organization working to end contemporary slavery and human trafficking. In a report published recently, highlighting the scourge of modern-day slavery, paints a stark picture. Andrew Forrest co-authored the report, Global Estimates of Modern Slavery, with the International Labor Office, or ILO. And he said, as soon as the public becomes aware that slavery exists, among them they can ask the question, when they're at the teller, or when they're at the shops, or when they're buying clothes, they can say, hey, was this product, was this clothing, was this seafood caught by slaves? And with that question, it frees a slave. The report, supplemented by an accompanying analysis by the ILO, examines different forms of forced labor. We don't see that as slavery, but that's exactly what it is, which it said occurred in every region of the world in 2016. The problem was the most prevalent in Africa, followed by Asia, the Pacific, Europe, and Central Asia. According to the report, which acknowledged that the results should be interpreted with caution due to the dearth of data from some of the areas such as the Americas and the Arab states. According to the report, which also spotlights forced marriage, no single source provides suitable and reliable data for all forms of slavery, meaning that slavery is even bigger than what's documented here. Some of the more recent headlines about slavery and human trafficking are as follows. Human trafficking suspects possibly part of sex slavery gang. Another headline, Texas cops find 9 dead in trailer left in Walmart parking lot. You say, well, Melvin, these other governments, including the other Americas, these are not our country. We do not have slavery in our country. We fought a civil war over it, and the South lost. We don't have slavery anymore. Come on, Mel. Why you gotta bring this stuff up? Couple of reasons. First of all, we all live on the same planet. And when some of us are oppressed, we really should see it as all of us are oppressed. Because you may not be the slave today, but it's very likely you will be the slave tomorrow. Quoting here some of the numbers, 151.6 million, that's the number of children, 5 to 17 years old, who are in forced labor according to the International Labor Organization. By international standards, child labor is defined as work that is hazardous, demands too many hours, or is performed by children who are too young. The Republicans in recent years have been trying to get rid of our child labor laws. They say so that children can learn responsibility and so that they can have a sense of self and pride and all this other crap that sounds great when you're a member of the GOP. But what it really is they would like to bring down the price of labor even more. So children are supposed to just be children. This is the part of their lives that's supposed to be fun, right? And that's what we tell our kids. We say, go on, enjoy it. Throw the ball, ride your skateboard, stare at a screen for a little bit. Do absolutely nothing on your computer. It's so much fun because when you're a kid, you're going to have to use that computer for doing your homework. You're going to have to use that computer for doing your work. And you're not going to be able to ride your bike all the time. And you're going to have to pay bills. And you're going to have a mortgage. No. When you're a kid, you're just supposed to be a kid. But one of the things that helps bring down the cost of labor is the dilution of the labor pool. The more you add to it, the more you bring it down. And in recent years, we've brought in more and more immigrants, which drops the price of labor. Now, that's not the immigrants' fault. Of course, we're all screaming our guts out and calling them the problem, terrorists and murderers and rapists and all the rest, but it's not them. They're being brought in because it brings down the cost of labor. Bringing children into the labor force would do the same thing. Another number here, 89 million. That's the number of people who have experienced some form of slavery in the last 5 years. The average length of time victims were forced to work varied from a few days to a few years. And 1 in 4 victims of modern slavery were children, this according to the report. Slavery is a crime of opportunity. If you're in Bahrain and you're enslaving an African girl because you think you're a higher species of human being, you are in fact nothing more than a modern-day slaver who used to ship Africans out of Africa to Europe and to North America for blood money. 40.3 million. That's the estimated number of people who are victims of slavery in 2016. This is just last year. Of these, 25.9 million were men, women, and children who were forced to work against their will. Today, women and girls predominantly are being subject to forced labor in domestic work and the sex industry, whereas men and boys are being subjected to forced labor in construction, manufacturing, and in fishing. And these industries are quite thoroughly, supposedly, regulated. Meanwhile, 15.4 million people were confined to a marriage which they had not consented to. The enslaved women and girls comprised 71% of the overall total of enslaved people. 16 million, the number of people who were in forced labor in the private economy in 2016. Half of these men were in so-called debt bondage, which is how personal debt is paid through forced labor. Debt bondage. One of the better ways to make an economy more socially mobile is to educate your women. It would also help to educate your men. Or what you can do is you can tell them that if they want an education, they're going to have to go 40, 50, 60, 90, 100, or $200,000 in debt if they want that education. Don't look at it as an investment in your society, in your country. Look at it as another way to make money off of your people. And then charge them incredibly high interest for those loans. And make sure that they never get out of debt bondage. See, we see ourselves as so different. The way that we run ourselves, so different. But we have all of these things right here. 5.7 million, the number of children who were forced to marry. The number of children forced to marry. Among the child victims, 44% were forced to marry before they were 15 years old. 4.1 million, the average number of people and state-imposed forced labor. These included citizens recruited by government authorities to participate in agriculture and construction work for economic development and young military conscripts. 3.8 million. The number of adults who endured forced sexual exploitation. In addition, 1 million children were victims of commercial sexual exploitation. The vast majority of those subjugated were women and girls. Melvin, once again, slavery. Sorry, it's just not happening here. What we have with result to our arguments against labor, and there was a time, say, before Reagan, where labor history was taught in school, all of the bloody battles that were fought so that men and women could have rights in the workplace, And that helped to create a middle class. And a middle class created a thriving democracy. And a thriving democracy brought to us an America where we didn't have to worry about the cost of medicine or the cost of school or being in a state of perpetual warfare. But what we have decided to accept is that the captains of industry have it right. And all of the rest of us, well, we have it wrong. For too long, I've watched my countrymen, the conservatives among my countrymen, argue for lower wages. There's a billboard on I-5 between Seattle and Portland, right about mile marker 89, if I'm not mistaken. And it's called Hamilton's Corner. And some right-wing whack job runs it. This is in Washington State. And I remember when there was a debate about the minimum wage. He put up on that billboard $15 an hour. Why not $30 an hour? Why not $50? Why not $100 an hour? Why not just give all the money to, yeah, that would be awesome. Give us all the money. But what he's doing, and I can promise you the person that owns that billboard, and it's not a high-tech billboard or anything, I can promise you that guy is simply buying the talking points. And for some reason, does not remember a time when we had a thriving middle class because people were paid fair wages and you didn't have to go into debt to go to school and there were land grant colleges. But now we have accepted our country being in perpetual warfare. We've accepted the fact that we support slavery. You can't buy anything, and I mean anything, without it being made in China or Taiwan or Vietnam. And it's not like you and I really get a lot of say in that. We get some say. We go to the ballot box and we say, like Donald Trump ran last year and he said, America first, jobs first, America, 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 make it America, make it in America. But everything that he manufactures is made outside of the country. Everything that his daughter makes is made outside of the country. So what gives? This is the lip service that has been paid to us. Hire an American, keep an American working. But every time we push for these ultra-conservative candidates, they work to make sure that the labor pool stays diluted so that wages stay low so that we don't have an emerging middle class that would then vote them the hell out. They have decried education, devalued education, and charged us way more for it because they know that if people were educated, they would not be voting for conservatives. And then there's women. We make sure not to give women a good education because if a woman has a good education, she understands her society, she understands her culture, she understands the way the world works, she understands the way finance works, she understands the way banking works, she understands the way the construction works, she understands the way the government works. If she comes out of college and she's educated, she's not likely to have a bunch of freaking kids and just stay home. She gets to become a woman. And she gets to become a woman on her own terms. And that lowers the birth rate, which is just fine. Because that helps get the population under control. And we've seen this. Whenever we educate women and girls, it lowers the population rate. But it doesn't kill us. It merely stabilizes it. But this old idea that we need to keep women in the house barefoot and pregnant and cooking us dinner. Get me another bear. That idea is still very prevalent. And with more than 50% of women, white women, voting for Donald Trump in the last election, there seems to be more than a few women who are okay with it. We fought the first Civil War against slavery. And it appears that the second Civil War may be fought for the same reason.
The special counsel investigating Russian meddling in last year's presidential election has obtained, through a search warrant, records of Russian-linked ads posted on Facebook, some by inauthentic profiles. That disclosure, first reported by The Wall Street Journal and CNN this weekend, follows a story published Thursday by ProPublica that revealed how Facebook advertisers could target ads specifically at anti-Semitic users. Yesterday, NewsHour Weekend's Hari Srinivasan spoke with one of the authors of that article, ProPublica reporter Julia Angwin.
most people don't buy ads. How does ad buying work on Facebook?
So the way it works on Facebook is you go in and you say, I want to buy an ad, and they offer you all sorts of options. You can do it by age and by the city, and you could even do it by the zip code. You can type in some thoughts like, I want people who listen to Bon Jovi, or I want people who are really into nose rings, or whatever you are interested in. They will tell you how many people they think they have like that in their system.
So what did you guys do?
Somebody gave us a tip that there was a category called Jew haters. So we went in and we typed Jew hater, and they were like, cool, there's 2,200 of them you can target. And we thought, really? So we bought an ad because we thought maybe there would be an approval process, like where it wouldn't go through, but then it went through. And then we thought maybe it was a bug, so we bought another one, and it went through. And then we thought maybe it was really, maybe that was crazy, so we bought a third one just to be sure which went through. And then we decided that they did have an ad category called Jew Hater.
You know, there's a screen that you have on your story. As you're doing this, you see all of these other sort of almost suggested categories.
Right. So when you put in Jew space H, it suggests for you Jew hater, how to burn Jews, why Jews ruin the world, and it suggested other things that were related. Their top suggestion was the Second Amendment, which would be related.
Are these phrases or categories that people have assigned to themselves? Or
yeah, it seems as though what happened here is these were described as fields of study, and so it seems as though people had put in their profile their field of study was these things. Everything you write in your profile, where you fill out your interests, your movies, whatever, it just they just automatically turn it into an ad targeting category.
You know, companies in the Silicon Valley have often said, listen, it's not our job to censor. That's not necessarily what Facebook said when you confronted them with this.
Yeah, you know, they could have actually said, look, live and let live. But they actually didn't. They took it down. They took down the categories that we mentioned, but then they actually took down all self-identified categories. So they said, you know, we need to figure out how we can sift through these to make sure there's not other stuff in there.
So how is this even fixable? I mean, there's no way that humans can sit there and look at every type of ad that every company across Facebook wants to buy.
It's a big data problem for sure. But, you know, what's interesting, if you think about the big data problems Facebook has solved effectively. Automatic catching of every nipple, automatic photo tagging of all your friends' faces, right? So I feel like I have faith that if they tried, they could also figure out some big data algorithm solution to this one. I'm just not sure that they had tried.
Let's talk a little bit about the money at stake here. I mean, even if they shut this spigot off just for the few days or few weeks until they solve this problem, this is serious money.
Yeah, I mean, Facebook, they have the most, you know, advertising dollars of anybody in online. And that's because of this collection of all these teeny tiny micro segments. And so when you add up all their little micro segments, it's going to be significant revenues, whether it's 1% or 2% of their revenues. It's still big numbers.
Julia Angwin from ProPublica, thanks so much for joining us.
It's great to be here.
As you heard in that clip, ProPublica decided to buy some anti-Jewish ads just to see if it would get through because there was a Jew hater category on Facebook and they were successful. Now, Facebook has since come out and said, hey, we're really sorry this happened. We're really sorry that these ads got through. And I don't know if you caught it in that clip, but the lady from ProPublica, she said something really interesting. She wasn't necessarily able to buy an ad to target 23 people who cited their area of interest as Jew haters. So what it suggested as the next best thing was adding people who had an interest in the Second Amendment. Because there's a pretty close correlation. Not every single person who is a gun nut is also a Klansman. But I can promise you, the vast majority of your Klansmen are also out there defending the Second Amendment. And this is another thing that sort of leads back to this idea of a civil war. Now, the Klan was born out of their loss in the Civil War. They were around for a while, and then they're a terrorist group is what they are. And then they died out. They're a Christian terrorist group. We don't like to call them that, but that's exactly what they are. And then they died out. And then they had this resurgence during the civil rights era of the 60s. Oh my God, these blacks, they're getting rights again. You know, just like first we freed the slaves, and the Klan pops up, and then they died a little bit. And now we get the drinking out of our water fountains, and then the Klan comes back again. A Christian terrorist group. And then they're shamed. And then they kind of go into the shadows again. They wear the hoods to hide their identities because if their identities were known, it's pretty likely that they would lose their jobs and their homes and all these other things. Your employer sees you and goes, boy, I saw you at the Klan rally. That's what we learned from Charlottesville. A lot of those guys who were identified in those photos walking around marching saying Jews will not replace us, they ended up losing their jobs when their pictures were spread all over online. ABC did a report after Obama became president talking with these Christian terrorists, the Ku Klux Klan. And they asked them because, and the reason they decided to go after this story was because there were so many more Klan groups just popping up after a black man became president. Aha! So they lose the Civil War. Klan pops up, fades away. Civil rights, Klan pops up, fades away. A black man becomes president. Klan pops up.
Show his face for fear he'd be fired from his job. Starts to get ready for the evening's rituals.
But you're wearing the robes of traditional terrorists, of traditional haters.
That's just the outlook that they want to give you. That ain't true. Not everybody was like that.
So you think this is what a good Christian man does?
Yeah, this is our Christianity. I mean, that's just plain and simple.
Howard says he's allowed us to come here to show us the new Klan is neither hate-filled nor violent. Yet what we heard and saw during our time with them suggests otherwise.
Black people and white people are nowhere related. In my opinion, I think black people evolved from animals. And I believe that we need to be separated. Whites and blacks need to be separated. I don't agree with race mixing. Let them set up their own state where they belong and give them their own homeland.
And if your daughter, when she got older, came home and said, I want to go out with a black boy?
I'd disown her. Wouldn't have nothing else to do with her for the rest of my life.
Because of who she loved.
No, it's not love. If you love somebody of your own race.
Who decreed that?
God decreed that. Jesus decreed that.
I thought Jesus said love each other.
Jesus said love your neighbor. But if you read the Bible.
As yourself.
Barack Obama will ruin this country. And white people will be in concentration camps. And if you don't believe white people can't be in concentration camps, people are sadly mistaken.
And his solution to avoid this supposed impending storm is an all-white South, where all blacks, Hispanics, and Jews are banned, given someplace else, he says, to live in America.
I want to make sure I understand you. If the goal is white separatism, mm-hmm. separating the races, mm-hmm. the only way to separate the races is using violence. You're not going to be able to just
If they will peacefully go, then yeah, but if they won't peacefully go, that's the only way, is through violence, is through making them go. That's it.
And you'd be willing to be part of that. Mm-hmm. It's a race war you're talking about, mm-hmm. essentially.
Very much so.
His hero and predecessor was a convicted murderer and former head of the Mississippi White Knights.
What do you think about Sam Bowers?
He's the greatest Klansman that ever lived.
You could point the finger back at me, and you could say, Melvin, these are the fringiest of the fringes. Now, in the beginning of that clip, you heard him say he has to wear the Klan hood because he could get fired from his job. And then, of course, this clip came from the time when Obama was president. And they're pretty sure they were going to end up in concentration camps. That dang gum Negro going to put us in concentration camps. And, of course, dang it, Obama, you forgot everything. Dang it. So forgetful, Mr. Obama, President Obama. You forgot to put the white people in concentration camps. Oh, well, better luck next time. But that's what they really believed. And now we live in an era where they don't have to wear their hoods anymore. In Charlottesville, they walked without their hoods. In the White House right now, they're walking around without their hoods. And then, of course, over at Fox News. See, this isn't just fringy anymore. This is considered mainstream. And the Klansmen, the White Knights and the White Separatists and the Nazis and all these people are coming out now and they're not ashamed anymore. And they're not hiding anymore. We shamed them into hiding several times during history and we're obviously going to have to do it again. But for right now, they get to run and they get to run free. And you can say, well, come on. Now, Donald Trump did not get a majority of the votes during the last election. Hey, you're crying everybody's song right there, but it doesn't matter. Because if you aren't participating in your democracy, these are the kind of things you're bringing about. Hey, I didn't vote for him. Yeah, but in all likelihood, you didn't vote for anybody. And you don't know even who your local representatives are. And this is the kind of thing that happens when good people don't do anything. Fox News, if I'm not mistaken, is still the number one news, cable news right now. And this is a clip of them defending white supremacy.
Or have come out and said, we need to get rid of this type of stuff in our country, neo-Nazism and white supremacy.
Just pointing out that Antifa, though, also ought be called out, just like the violent aspects of Black Lives Matter ought be called out.
Sure.
You can call that out, and then, but still also listen, say, on Black Lives Matter, to the grievances of young African-American males in urban cores who feel like they're looked at differently by police. That discussion still should be had, just like young white men who feel like, hey, I'm treated differently in this country than I feel like I should have. I've become a second-class citizen. I think the president nailed it. He condemned in the strongest possible terms hatred and bigotry on all sides, as opposed to immediately picking a side out the gate. He saluted the police specifically for what they did. It's not multiculturalism first, it's America first. And if we see ourselves through that lens, then it unites us as opposed to dividing us.
Did you catch that very careful language right there about how he didn't choose a side? He called out the violence on both sides. It wasn't Antifa that decided to put this thing together. This was a white supremacist rally. And they were fighting for white supremacist symbols. And then they were backed by their white supremacist Christian president.
I believe Trump is elected by God to be the president of the United States. Yay, 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 yay.
And this is what my life has become right now, because I marinate in all of this freaking news. And it seems like with every hour, and I listen to the news every hour on the hour, mostly during the day. I try not to when I come home at night, but even then, I can't seem to get away from it because this is an honest interest of mine. And I've noticed that more and more of the news cut-ins will have gigantic chunks about white power groups.
Civil rights investigation into the violence over the weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia. A woman was hit by a car and killed at a white nationalist rally.
Racism is evil. And those who cause violence in its name are criminals and thugs, including the KKK, neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and other hate groups that are repugnant to everything we hold dear as Americans.
The president met at the White House with Attorney General Jeff Sessions and FBI Director Christopher Wray. He is in Washington for one day during a working vacation, mostly in Bedminster, New Jersey. The man accused of driving the car, Alex Fields Jr., was denied bond after the public defender's office said it couldn't represent him. The AP's Brian Witte is in Charlottesville.
He appeared wearing a black and white striped uniform. He answered questions from the judge calmly, yes, sir, no, sir, when the judge asked him questions. It was determined that he could not afford his own attorney, so the judge named a court-appointed attorney for him.
Fields was not present in the courtroom but appeared via video monitor. Meantime, crews in Gainesville, Florida are removing a Confederate statue today. And in Tampa, Florida, someone splashed red paint around a Confederate memorial.
Just white power story after white power story after white power story. And it's not like I'm playing clips from leftwingnews.com, which I'm pretty certain is not even a website. And if it is, well, I wouldn't plug that into an address bar because I don't know what that is. I just made that up. This is AP. AP is a mainstream news source, and everybody gets a fair amount of their news from AP. If it comes from AP, and they issue quite a few corrections, but if it comes from AP, you can take it to the bank. And this is what they're covering these days. So I caught something with an AP reporter the other day, and it was very subtle, but I think the frustration is being felt inside news organizations, even though they're not outwardly expressing it. Because remember, a lot of our news organizations, they're not political operations, you know, like Fox is. A lot of our news organizations, they do what they do for profit. But I think the frustration is starting to build with all of this white power BS that's out there right now.
Sources are telling us that President Trump is deeply frustrated with Health Secretary Tom Price. Price is engulfed in a controversy about his use of costly charter planes at taxpayers' expense while on government business. His public regrets and partial repayment pledge don't seem to have calmed the furor within the White House.
The furor within the White House. Now, maybe she did or did not mean that, but if she meant that, and it was very tongue-in-cheek, for quiet. Then, bless her, that was awesome. The Fuhrer in the White House. Forgive me, but I think we're all feeling the same kind of frustration. And then he's, come on, Melvin, this still isn't the way things are. You know, give us some time, a year or two, the next president, whatever, and all this will go by the wayside. But actually, this kind of thing is growing. A dozen Jewish businesses just got swastikas in the mail. This from New York Daily News. Anonymous hate-filled slurs and emblazoned with an oversized swastika was mailed to 9 city businesses, prompting an NYPD investigation this past Wednesday. The letters arrived at spots in Brooklyn and Manhattan, including 3 law firms, an international law firm, a jewelry store, a Starbucks, and a kosher meat market and bakery. Each message was identical, typed in capital letters. I've gotten hate mail from conservatives. They type in all capital letters. This, according to law enforcement sources, the words Make America a Great Again appear beneath a large swastika. The unknown sender refers to a Nazi board game called Jude and Rouse and calls for African Americans and homosexuals to burn in hell. Conservative. The letter ends. Christian identity is back. This in all caps to mostly Jewish businesses. This. In October 2017.
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press.
So I've noticed that what it takes to earn the patriotic title is to do something that is against your country. We have more than enough evidence now that Donald Trump and his campaign worked with the Russians, or at the very least, the Russians overtly wanted him to be president. This week, Facebook turned over thousands of ads that were purchased by the Russian government, some of them paid for in rubles. So once again, not even doing a great job of hiding the fact that this is what Russia wanted. And of course, Russia has a lot of white supremacists in it also. And the leader of Russia, Putin, also not a big fan of the blacks, definitely not a big fan of the Jews, and definitely hates the homos, which is so wild because I've seen so many photos of him riding horseback with his shirt off, but I digress. I've noticed the other thing that can get you called a patriot here in the United States of America is if you carry the Confederate flag, if you think it's a problem for people to kneel. Because that's disrespectful to the flag. You know what's really disrespectful to the American flag? The Confederate flag.
The first shots of the Second American Civil War have already been fired. The Democrats and the controlled corporate foreign bank-owned media have been on every late-night show, every major newspaper, Washington Post, New York Times, LA Times, Chicago Tribune, calling for Trump's death and calling for Trump supporters to be attacked for wanting kind of a populist liberal president. I mean, you look at his actual policies, it's just classic JFK 1961. But again, I'm informed, so I'm a bad guy. And they are all over the news saying, kill his supporters, chop his head off, kill his family. They are just everywhere in dramas and TV shows and movies and plays. Kill, 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 kill.
You have to listen to his language in the beginning of that clip. I don't know if you caught it. He called it the Democrats and the foreign bank-owned media. Two key things there. Foreign, obviously that pushes the whole race issue. And then bank-owned. There's a conspiracy on the far right where Alex Jones lives. And it is this idea that Jewish bankers are taking over the world. So it's this anti-Semitism that's very, it's if you're just listening to him talk and you're not familiar with this stuff, you're likely not to catch it. But I caught it because I hear this kind of stuff all the time. Alex Jones has been calling for a civil war for some time, saying the first shots have already been fired and they've been fired by all those unarmed Democrats that want to take our guns. First shots have not been fired. But this is a very popular idea on the right. And this week, Alex Jones came out and said that conservatives better say, or patriots, he said, patriots is the word, patriots better start shooting now because if you don't, the Democrats is going to shoot you. And it's not just the fringy guys like him, which I would suggest is maybe not even all that fringy. because he's got millions of listeners every week. He's a liar. He makes up every one of his stories, every single one. He says nothing that's true, but he's got millions of listeners. And another guy also pushing the idea of civil war that also has millions of listeners and is a little bit more mainstream than him is also promoting the idea of a civil war.
You know, folks, I got to tell you something. I don't think we're that far from a civil war in this country right now. I'm not talking about armed conflict, North versus South, but we have a divide in this country that is in no way going to be bridged. It isn't going to be bridged by compromise. It's not going to be bridged by walking across the aisle and getting along with people. And it's not going to be bridged by persuading people to agree with us and vice versa. The only way this is ever going to end is when one side gets defeated, politically defeated, and becomes a demonstrable minority. That's the only way any of this is going to end. The left does not want this to end. This is normalcy for the left.
It makes me insane that he eats on the air. It's one of the first rules of radio. You don't eat on the air. And you hear him sucking right in the beginning of that. But anyway, to his point, we can't solve it by walking across the aisle. We can't solve it by talking. We can't solve it with goodwill. We can't solve it with, they have to be defeated. Pregnant pause. Politically. They have to be defeated politically. They have to become a political mind. No. If you know this language, like I know this language, and don't misunderstand me, it is not my suggestion that any sort of shooting should begin. I don't believe in violence. I do not even believe in Nazi punching. I don't think it does any good. I think it's counterproductive. And shooting. If these guys begin shooting, and say progressive-minded people who are armed begin shooting back, it's not going to solve anything. It's only going to make things worse. This idea that if we just have enough guns and everybody's armed, that an armed society is a polite society, and everybody will just, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and yes, no, and please, and thank you, and may I have another, and no, that's not what's going to happen with more guns. More guns simply means more murder.
A Florida family is in mourning following the accidental shooting death of a 4-year-old girl. Yanelli Nelly Zoller reached into her grandmother's purse in search of candy, but accidentally pulled the trigger of a gun, fatally shooting herself in the chest. The girl's father, Shane Zoller, told the Tampa Bay Times that he was going to pick Nelly up from her grandparents when he saw the police lights, and said that Nelly was very close to them. Authorities say the police are investigating, but that they have no reason to doubt the story. Family friends have set up a You Caring page to crowdfund the funeral costs.
4 years old. Grandma's carrying this gun in her purse, because she's been told that the way that she protects herself is by carrying a gun in her purse. Oh, Melvin, she's not a responsible gun owner. You're right, she's not, because she's carrying a freaking gun at all. And then the 4-year-old reaches in for candy and it goes off and she's dead now. And this family is forever changed. And is anybody protected? Was anybody's life saved? Absolutely not. Quite the opposite.
Ian Santiago, 3, and his 6-year-old brother were playing cops and robbers around 9:05 p.m. on Saturday. Their grandfather, Israel LaSalle, who was watching them, says he asked the boys to go downstairs to get some bleach so he could clean up after the dog. The older boy then grabbed a loaded revolver on top of the refrigerator wrapped in pajama pants. That's when he accidentally shot his younger brother in the head. LaSalle says he ran with the 3-year-old boy in his arms to a nearby hospital. He was then rushed to Mount Sinai Hospital, where he was pronounced dead.
Another family forever changed by a responsible gun owner. The headline, toddler accidentally shot in the stomach by father cleaning gun. A young girl in California was seriously wounded after being accidentally shot in the stomach by her father while he was cleaning his gun. This, according to the San Bernardino County Sheriff's, said that in the Apple Valley home late Wednesday night, there was a report of an accidental shooting. Authorities were told the child's father was downstairs cleaning his gun. When it went off, the bullet went through the ceiling, striking the 2-year-old girl who was in her bedroom upstairs. Another headline, toddler shoots 3-year-olds at an unlicensed home daycare.
A loaded gun gets into the wrong hands, and tonight a family is grieving because a three-year-old boy accidentally shot and killed his own father. It happened in Washington County, Indiana, last night at a home the family was renovating in Salem. WHAS 11's Brian Baker has the story.
A still, silent home where stories may never be told. It is here on West Vincennes Trail where police believe a three-year-old boy accidentally shot and killed his father around 10 o'clock Friday night.
He picked up the gun and it discharged, striking the deceased victim. He was pronounced dead at the scene.
The victim, 33-year-old Michael Bayless. The .45-caliber handgun belonged to him. His wife, three kids, and another young family member were all at the home. The gun was in the room with Michael when his three-year-old son wandered in and found it.
He was actually there laying in a bed or on a couch there watching a TV program with two of his children.
It just shocked me. These people are just so nice, and it was just a good family, you know.
Bill Smith owns a store around the corner from the home. He says he's gotten to know the family well since they started coming to the home about 6 months ago.
They bought it on the internet. They just saw it from an aerial picture and they liked it and they came down here.
The Bayless family is from Martinsville, Indiana, but both police and neighbors say they bought this home in the town of Beck's Mill near Salem in Washington County several months ago. And just take a look at the items in the front porch. This scrap wood, a tool like this saw, some plywood, and even a sink on the front porch. Neighbors say they would come here every weekend to renovate the home, a trip about 80 miles south of Martinsville. But Michael was beginning to make a life here, too. Bill says he was expected at a monthly music party behind the store.
Yesterday, he told my neighbor that he was going to come up, and I was looking forward to it.
Brian Baker, WHAS 11 News.
Police are still investigating, but they say they do not expect to find any foul play.
The headline, toddler playing with gun accidentally shoots and kills sleeping father. A little boy in St. Louis had accidentally shot and killed his father while playing with a loaded gun. This, according to the St. Louis Dispatch. When the police arrived, they found 27-year-old Darian Noble suffering from a gunshot wound to the neck. He was pronounced dead at the scene. Police said Noble was accidentally shot by his 2-year-old son, who was playing with a .38 caliber revolver in the bed. Noble was asleep when the gun went off. The mass shootings, which are carried out by psycho gun nuts, are bad enough in and of themselves. But these stories of toddlers with guns getting killed, killing their parents, all of it accidental. It wasn't like, oh, he's not going to give me any gummy bears. I'll show you, Dad. It's nothing like that. Nor is it a new form of conservative punishment. I'm just going to shoot that kid. He'll remember me. No. These are all accidents, and this is what happens with these guns, is you're a lot more likely to accidentally murder a family member than you are an intruder. But the bill of goods has been sold to us for a long time that we need to all be armed and armed to the teeth because America's at war. There's criminals everywhere, hiding under your bed. They're everywhere. But it's not true. And what it's leading us to do is kill one another, whether intentionally or accidentally.
There's just been this measure to lift a gun control restriction that will now allow people with severe mental illness to get their hands on guns. How does that make sense?
Well, I don't look at that this way. You know, I'm a strong proponent of our Second Amendment rights. You know, it's interesting. This was a rule that President Obama came out with in December, long after he was a lame duck president. If this is something he was so committed to, you would have thought sometime in the previous 8 years he might have come out with such a regulation.
Well, sure, but
he just came out with it in December.
I mean, but what about the substance of it? I mean, why allow, if there's one point of agreement, bipartisan point of agreement, that everyone has said, from gun enthusiasts to gun control activists, it's keep guns out of the hands of the mentally ill. This sounds like it would make it easier for them to get their hands on guns.
Well, I don't view that way at all. I look at this from the standpoint, this is going up against Social Security and people who get Social Security checks, people who make financial decisions, and is putting the Social Security Administration in a point where they would then be determining who is reported in ways in terms of our Second Amendment rights.
As I understand it, it involves 75,000 people with mental disorders so severe that they cannot work and that they have someone else manage their Social Security benefits. How does it make sense to let them have guns? If someone has a mental illness so severe that they cannot work, should they be able to have a gun?
This was one of the insane things that the new GOP Congress did as soon as they got power this year, was they decided that they were going to give guns to the mentally ill. That's not a joke. That's not hyperbole. The Social Security Administration, and a lot of people get Social Security not just because they're old, but because they're unable to work for any number of reasons. And there's a lot of people on Social Security that can't work because they're mentally ill. And so severely mentally ill that the Social Security Administration says that they should not have a gun. Congress said, nope, it's a right. Those mentally ill people should get a gun. The headline from the New York Times, 477 days, 521 mass shootings, zero action. Zero action from the GOP. That's who currently controls Congress. In June 2016, there were 31 mass shootings. We don't even hear about most of these anymore because the criteria that's required for reporting a mass shooting has just gone up. In July 2016, there were 49 mass shootings. August 2016, there were 42 mass shootings. There are more mass shootings in a month now than there are days. September 2016, 32 mass shootings. October 2016, 31 mass shootings. November 2016, 36 mass shootings. By the way, this is the only country in the world where this happens. December 2016, 27 mass shootings. January 2017, new president, 31 mass shootings. February 2017, the month of love, 25 mass shootings. They took that one off a little bit. March 2017, 22 mass shootings. Perhaps St. Paddy's Day, everybody passed out before they could get their greasy fingers inside their trigger holes. April 2017, 39 mass shootings. May 2017, 23 mass shootings. June 2017, 35 mass shootings. July 2017, 36 mass shootings. August 2017, 33 mass shootings. Last month, 22 mass shootings. And then October 1st, the worst mass shooting in modern day history, carried out by one Stephen Paddock, a mentally ill man who the Republican Party believes deserves to have a gun because, hey, it's his right.
As you know, Ted Cruz suggested today the U.S. should step up its involvement going into Muslim neighborhoods, as he described it, looking for potential terrorists. Is that something you would support?
Yes, I would. I think that's a good idea.
I'm talking about Muslim neighborhoods in the United States, for example.
Yeah, I would support that, yes, 100%.
But how would you do that? How do you find out where Muslim neighborhoods are?
You do it. Yeah, let me tell you, I bet you the local police know much more than what's going on than anybody would understand.
But we're being told that Muslims are the problem. I couldn't happen but notice, but the most recent mass shooter was not Muslim. He was white, and he was American. He was born in America, and he had something like 20 or 30 guns in his hotel room and another dozen of them back home. And he even sent his girlfriend out of the country so that she wouldn't stop him from carrying out the shooting. And so now, because we don't have regulations on guns, and this week, by the way, Congress was set to do two things. They were set to make it easier to buy a silencer. When the Vegas shooting happened, most people said that they heard the shots. Oh my God, what is that? That must be firecrackers. Go back to dancing. Holy crap, people are dropping dead. Let's get out of here. It's a mass shooting. Imagine how many more people would have been killed if they heard no sound whatsoever, because this guy was able to get his hand on a silencer. People are just dropping dead, and maybe a couple hundred drop dead before people realize it's a mass shooting. About 600 people were shot, although 58 died. I know you've been hearing 59, but I'm not counting the shooter because he's not human. And let's just take this down to the smallest example. One gunshot. Let's say that you are shot in the chest and you do not die. Because of the deregulations on guns and the way our healthcare system works, if you get shot, that's going to cost you about $100,000. That's about the average cost right now. This, according to The Guardian. Now, not the people that die, but the people that are shot and either die or are shot and live. More than 100,000 people are shot each year in the United States, and only the United States, at a total cost of $2.8 $8 billion. If lost wages and the hospital charges are considered together, though, that number actually goes to $45 billion. Patients pay a high price for being shot. If they stayed in the hospital overnight, charges are $95,887 on average. If they have to be sent to another medical facility besides the one they check into, well, that's $180,000. You didn't ask to get shot, but you got shot. And the person that shot you, well, they're probably going to kill themselves. And you're just going to end up with this gigantic monster medical bill. Because see, they have a right to shoot you, but you do not have the right to not be shot.
Here's something you're going to have to see to believe, and even then, still really hard to understand. An 8-year-old using a loaded gun trying to rob a West Palm Beach grocery store. This child seen walking into the store here with a motorcycle helmet on. Police say he had a gun, tried to hold the store up before being stopped by employees. The boy's mother says she was at home at the time, then she realized something wasn't right.
When I grabbed my purse, it was so light. I'm like, oh, you know, I knew I was missing something. I was like, where's my gun? The first thing I thought, like, I hope Jaden don't have my gun.
At the moment, I didn't know if it was a real gun or fake, but I took it seriously. As soon as I moved, I reached over to him, twisted his wrist, took the gun away.
The boy's mother says she wishes she would have kept the gun somewhere safer. Police have not filed charges yet against the boy or his mother.
I think it's the most insane thing. All of these children with guns, all of them brought to you by Gun Nuts.
Hey kids, what's in the box?
Gun Nuts!
That's right, it's Gun Nuts.
Oh boy, Gun Nuts!
For a breakfast that's just insane. You just can't live without Gun Nuts.
Gun Nuts!
All the other cereals just mind their own business. But Gun Nuts gets right in your face.
Gun Nuts!
With vitamins, niacin, and 3,000% of your body's daily requirement of lead.
I get the free prize. I got the Smith & Wesson 9mm. I got a Glock 19.
Gun Nuts will openly carry you through your day.
Oh boy, Gun Nuts!
And they're so tasty too.
Gun Nuts!
Try Gun Nuts and Gun Nut Flakes today. Available at Home Depot and Target. Right next to Put a Cap in Crunch and Count Glockula.
Snap crackers, how it's Gun Nuts.
So over at Red State, which is a right-wing website, Brandon Morse wrote in a post titled, "Living in a Free and Dangerous Country is Better Than Living in a Restricted and Safe Country." Quote, "We accept that freedom is dangerous. We accept that misfortune may befall us. That decision may hurt us. We accept the people, maybe me, maybe you, maybe somebody we love will die. But we accept these freedoms because we know the benefits of freedom vastly outweigh the danger. In other words, I'd rather be free than safe." And that's what conservatives have decided for all of us. Now, let me be clear here. When I talk about the issue of guns, and I say conservatives, allow me to put a finer point on that. If you talk to even NRA members, they will tell you that they are for background checks. A majority of them will tell you that we don't need weapons of war. A vast majority. So how do we end up with these gun wishes that don't even respect the people that belong to the NRA? Because there's... the people that run the NRA are effectively the gun manufacturers. They give a lot of money to the NRA. NRA gives a lot of money to your Congress member. And we have our people being slaughtered in the streets now. And we're always told as soon as one of these shootings happen, oh, now's not the time. Oh, we can't talk about it. Oh, thoughts and prayers.
We'll fly our flags at half mast. We'll say all the right things. We'll make promises we won't keep. And then nothing will change. Our lives will go on while the lives of so many others won't, because we expect it now and we accept it. It wasn't this way when I was a boy, but it is life in America now.
It seems that no matter who we send to Congress, they are effectively owned by the NRA. And that's been told to us by congressmen themselves.
The NRA right now, I mean, effectively owns the House of Representatives and a significant degree of the United States Senate. And until the American public clear some of those people out that aren't voting with their constituents and listening to the gun lobby instead, it's going to be hard to get change.
But we are not clearing them out. We're sending the same awful people back again and again. I wanted to leave you with this story. So in a world of racial division and political division and all these things that divide us that I don't think should be dividing us, there's this. There's a debate going on right now about Nazi punching, and I have said that I am absolutely dead set against it. It sounds corny, but I believe the way you deal with your enemy is that you love your enemy. So this from ABC News. Colorado resident Michael Kent recently sat down at a tattoo parlor in Colorado Springs to have his swastikas covered up. Kent, a former neo-Nazi, credits an African-American parole officer named Tiffany Whittier with helping him to see beyond skin color and changing his views about white supremacy. If it wasn't for her, I would have seeped back into it, he said. Now I look at her as family. Whittier even inspired Kent, who's 38, to take down the Nazi flags he has hanging in his living room and replace them with smiley faces. Kent has said, yeah, he likes looking at those a lot more. Kent now works full-time on a chicken farm in Colorado where all of his co-workers are Hispanic. Before all this, I wouldn't work for anybody who wasn't white, said Kent. Now we have company parties, they have quinceañeras, and I'm the only white guy there. He's celebrating this. Redemption Inc., a national nonprofit that offers free removal of hate-related tattoos, helped connect Kent with Fallen Heroes Tattoo in Colorado to begin the 15-hour process of covering his swastikas. The sterile environment is new to Kent, who had his previous ink work done in prison. I've never, ever, ever been inside of a tattoo shop, he says. Kent believes the painful process will help him move forward after spending years as a member of a violent skinhead group based in Arizona. As the father of two young children, Kent also hopes his children will see the world differently. I don't want my kids to live the life that I've lived with hate, he said. I want my kids to know me for who I am now, a good father, a hard worker, and a good provider. And we heard this from Christian, the guy who runs Life Without Hate. He said the same thing. Nobody ever changed their ideas after they got punched in the face. Do I honestly believe in my heart of hearts that at the root of this, that what we're all speeding towards is an honest-to-goodness civil war? No, but it seems to have all the hallmarks of it. We're fighting about slavery. We're fighting about the Klan. There's a big racial divide. There's a big political divide. There's violence in the streets. There's people talking about violence. There's people talking about civil war. But I believe all of that stuff is really just meant to fuel the fire further. Because, see, when you and I are punching each other, like we do with Nazis, when you and I are shooting each other, when you and I are fighting online about stupid things, when you and I are fighting in the streets, when you and I are writing hateful articles and hateful books and making hateful YouTube videos, you know what we're not doing? We're not looking at the people that turned us against one another. We're not looking at the politicians in Washington, D.C. and on our local districts that are robbing us blind. We're not looking at what the real problem is, nor are we trying to understand our fellow Americans. We're not trying to understand Asians. We're not trying to understand African Americans. We're not trying to understand Muslims. We just look at them as different than us, and for that, they must die. They are the problem. And we turn against each other. But we are not the problem. We, the working class, are not the problem. We, the voter, are not the problem, unless, of course, you consider the fact that we keep sending the same dum-dums back to Washington, D.C., and those people continue hurting us, continue stabbing us in the back, lying to us, and making us fight with one another about things that we seemingly have very little control over. You say, how can you politicize the gun issue? Politicize. Politicize. Because we need political will in order to change it. We need political will in order to change the political climate. We need political will in order to change the racial climate. We need political will in order to change the number of guns that are in the streets. And first, before we can do that, we have to change the idea of what and why a gun is. Do we need them? What are they for? And if they are able to fire more than 100 rounds a minute, you don't have a gun. You have a full-fledged murder weapon that serves no other purpose. You're not going to go hunting with something that shoots 100 rounds a minute because you're not going to have dinner. You're going to have a pile of pulp and bullets, and you can't eat that no matter how much you love the meats. We've been sold a lot of insane ideas, and most of us have swallowed those. We've just taken those hook, line, and sinker and said, yep, that's the way things are. My neighbor is the problem. I need a gun. People must die. But hey, you gotta spill a little blood for the Tree of Liberty, right? As the teabaggers would say. But it's not true. Nothing has ever been made better by spilling blood. If something is truly awful and evil, We can face it, and we can face it together. But we need to look at each other not as adversaries, but as countrymen, as co-workers, as neighbors, as friends, as family. We need to look at each other like that first. Now, I understand that there's going to be a fair amount of laughter at your radio. Ha, ha, ha. Kumbaya, Melvin. But that's not what it is. And if you take it as that, well, you're dismissing my larger point here. I don't know what it is we're speeding towards, but we're definitely speeding towards it. And I don't know that it's a civil war, but I do know this. It's bloody, it's uncomfortable, and nobody, and I mean nobody, is going to win if we don't start looking inward and start looking towards one another to solve these particular problems. Maybe it's not a civil war, and I say that because there's absolutely nothing civil about war. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here on The Fire You Can't Put Out. Our official home is tfycpo.podbean.com. Like us at facebook.com/tfycpo. You can listen on the go. Just download the Podbean app at the iTunes Store or at the Google Play Store for Android users. Individual episodes are available at the iTunes Store. Just search for The Fire You Can't Put Out there. You can also there you can also subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Boom, Podbean, boom. Questions, comments, hate mail, just a general statement or inquiry. You can email us at tfycpo@gmail.com. We work hard to not only inform and entertain, but also keep an open dialogue with our growing listener base. So feel free to reach out to us. And as always, thank you for listening. We are the fire you can't put out, and we will prevail, rejecting austerity in favor of prosperity. Special thanks to Kevin for producing, and thank you for listening. This is Melvin signing off. And now that I have woken you up, good morning.